What is autism?
Autism is, there are a lot of conditions, actually. It is a spectrum disorder, and it's characterized by social issues, social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communication. There's not one type of autism. There are lots of different types. Some people may be considered high functioning, and some people are severely autistic. There can also be gastrointestinal disorders and seizures and sleep disturbances. And it affects estimated 1 in 59 children. That is such a small, I mean, everyone knows someone with autism. I'm telling you, everyone knows someone with autism. It's so prevalent now.
What causes autism?
That's a very good question because it's a hard one to answer. There are some risks. So someone who would be at risk of autism, there are some things that might contribute to it. So there's not one cause of autism.
Good answer.
It can develop from a combination of genetic and non-genetic or environmental influences. So if a child, usually a very small child, is at risk for autism, there could be a parent could carry the genetic changes and don't even know it. For instance, I do not have autism. The other side does not have autism that we know about. And so there just may be some sort of a carrying risk factor. It is genetic. It tends to run in families. But again, we had no history in my family of any sort of diagnosis of autism. And then there are some environmental risk factors that could increase or reduce the risks if the child is already at risk at having autism. So that could be pregnancy and birth complications, like a low birth weight, multiple pregnancies, pregnancy spaced less than a year apart, and then a decreased risk could be prenatal, not taking your prenatal vitamins, which of course I did religiously. So, and then here's the thing I thought was interesting. A lot of people out there believe that vaccines cause autism. Now, my thought is that a child who is already at risk for autism, and again, you don't know that until around 18 months to 2 or 3 years old. You don't know that. There's no real way to tell that right now. So most children get vaccines right in the hospital. So it could be that they're at risk for autism and that can affect them, but there has been research saying that there is no effect of vaccines. That's what the scientific research.
So, what were the first things that you or your mother noticed in Aiden that indicated that something was different about him as a baby?
Yes. What my mom noticed was, and he's just walking by and smiling, that he does, was some repetitive behaviors, jumping probably more than your typical 15-month-old. The lack of speech was a huge factor. The lack of eye contact was a huge factor, and especially the decreased eye contact because he had eye contact. So those, and then the tippy toe walking, those were some of the things my mother especially noticed first, having been and is still the parent of five typically developing children, as we all were.
Now, is there a test, or how is autism diagnosed?
Yes, there are several tests. And since I'm not a medical professional, I'm not going to tell you the correct the correct words for the test. But when we found out Aiden was at risk, we immediately got in touch with BabyNet, which is what a person should do. And then they took it from there, and we were evaluated here in Greenville with BabyNet. And then the South Carolina Autism Society, we were sent to Spartanburg for a test. And they seem like pretty simple tests, but a certain person will evaluate the child, watching them play, handing them certain toys, asking them certain questions or commands or requests, I guess, and the way that the child reacts to those. I can tell you that Aiden was only 20 months when we did some of those initial tests, about 20 months. And then the official diagnosis and the tests did not happen until he was about two, and that was done by the pediatrician, the developmental pediatrician, and a psychiatrist. And again, they do similar tests, and they're mostly behavioral tests, and they'll and observe and observing the child.
Is there a cure for autism?
There is no cure. However, early intervention is the key and can. There is research to support, and this also goes for anyone with any sort of mental health issues, even older, that there is a way you can reshape and retrain your brain. So applied behavioral analysis, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit, is one of the main early intervention therapies. There's also something called an EI, who is an early interventionist, and there are other types of therapies that are vital in, again, early intervention, meaning 2, 3, 4 years old, to get this therapy can help reshape the brain. Some children, now I have no idea, and I pray that my son is one of them, but there are some children who have developed, and you now may not notice any sort of issues, any sort of autistic tendencies. That doesn't go for every child, you know, but I have heard of such cases.
What is ABA?
ABA stands for Applied Behavior Analysis. It is a scientific discipline concerned with applying techniques based on the principles of learning to change behavior. So I'm reading that. But what I have come to understand, because I am not a trained therapist, I am a autism mom, but there are different types of very specific exercises. Again, if you sit in on a session, you might think, well, what's there's not that much difference in a kindergarten class or a preschool class, but it is mostly done one-on-one. The behavior, the therapy is one-on-one, and there is definite scientific research and techniques that they use that I don't even quite understand. But I know that I see progress in my son, so much progress in the last 2 years in which he's been receiving it on a fairly regular basis, although we did have a lapse in therapy due to our state's issues with Medicaid. And I can tell you more about that later.
Okay. How do you discipline a special needs child?
Well, that is truly difficult, and I have made many, many mistakes, as do any and all parents of all types of children, whether they're disabled or not. I'll tell you what you do not do, and does absolutely zero in discipline, is you don't yell at them. It's going to make things worse. It doesn't do anything for you. It makes you upset. You certainly don't spank, and I don't think you really spank any child. I take away the iPad, but even that sometimes doesn't work either, honestly. I haven't figured it out yet myself. I try to say no and let's do this, and we're pretty much the same as you would do a typical child. So I really honestly don't have a concrete answer to that except for what not
I
to
like that answer.
do.
What should a parent do? What's the first thing they should do if they think that their child could be autistic?
The first thing they should do is definitely take them to their pediatrician, and the pediatrician will probably tell them to call BabyNet, and they should have the correct number for BabyNet, or you can Google that and find it. That is a service here in South Carolina and throughout the country, and may be called different names in other areas. But that is the really truly early intervention for up to age 3. Now, after 3, you definitely see your pediatrician, and if you want to get a second opinion, which maybe you should also do, I think most pediatricians now will have some type of training in with autism. Our group of pediatricians did the right, they were the ones that noticed it first. The pediatrician and my mom. So they tell me what to do.
How do you, particularly you, cope with having a special needs child?
Well, I try honestly to, as normal as I can, make my life when my life is probably not Not just because I have a special needs child, but because of my background and my career, my life is not, quote unquote, normal because of my experience in theater and just kind of show business. It's not necessarily normal, but for me, normal is continuing to perform and pursue that dream, and that I've been lucky enough to do. So to do that, and I do try to get a little bit of time without him. And again, it's not that much different from having a child without special needs. Most parents need to get away. So I do that. And then honestly, I just try to not sweat the small stuff, which I do. I do sweat the small stuff a lot, but I try to, breathe and yoga and bar class and working out and those types of things.
What would you like for people to understand about autism? If you could tell people anything.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that question. First of all, it is not contagious. There's nothing you can't do. You hug the child if the child is okay with that. I'm lucky that my child is a hugger. Some children cannot handle that. But there again, it's not contagious. You can't necessarily look at a child with autism and tell that they have autism, which is different from other types of disabilities in children. I know that you can look at, for instance, a Down syndrome, you can usually tell. But for a child with autism, you cannot just look at them and tell them, like in a photo, because people will have said to me in the past, "Oh, he looks completely normal." And you just want to say, "Okay, thanks." Because they've seen pictures and they don't know how hard I've worked to get that smile or that eye contact. So, and that goes for anyone. You can't just look at someone and assume that they don't have a disability. So I'd like for people to understand that and just to have patience and understanding, when a child or an adult has perhaps a vocal outburst. There's something called stemming that goes along with autism. And my child in particular has a vocal stemming, and so he might hum loudly in an inappropriate time.
And my last one, Christmas is right around the corner. What about some
Yeah.
gift ideas for parents of a special needs child?
Oh, well, first of all, just sort of patting them on the back and saying, "You're doing a great job," is always nice. And also noticing the child progression or how they're doing. Wow, he's really come, very far. That's fantastic. A great thing would be just to offer a couple hours babysitting and say, "Go and get that manicure," or even, buy the man pay the for the manicure and say, "You're going to the manicure right now, and I'm going to stay with your child for an hour and a half, free of charge," or whatever. So that would be a great thing. And also, honestly, just kind of helping with small stuff or saying, "What can I help you take down the tree? Can I help you, or can I watch your child while you take down the tree?" Because a lot of times that's an issue, being able to finish a task because you have to stop in the middle of it. And a parent of a very small child understands that because there are issues where you have to stop in the middle of something and go change a diaper. Well, that happens longer for a child with autism. It goes on longer. So anything like that would just be a great gift, not just for Christmas, but anytime. Another idea would be to perhaps cook a meal or bring, if you're not a cook, bring a meal over and take the dishes with you or wash the dishes or take the garbage with you, anything like that, which is, it seems like a small thing, but it's a huge help. I'll just say really quickly, there was a time when we were in a sandwich shop, and the guy had no idea. He had no idea. Aiden was not misbehaving at all. He was being a very typical little boy. And the guy just paid for my sandwich ahead of me. And I didn't know until I got up to pay for the sandwich. And the gal told me, and I ordered a drink, a soda. And she said, "Oh, he didn't pay for that." She said, "But I will." And that small gesture meant so much to me. And they had no idea that I have a child because, again, you can't tell. But that was such a huge thing, and maybe cost somebody $6, Huge, huge for me.
Thank you very much to Kimmy Lee Bryant. That's our interview on this week's edition of The R Word. Next week, I'll be speaking with Carrie McWhorter, a young woman on the Dean's List of a local college who is living with cerebral palsy. I'm Ann Robards, 106.3 WORD.com News.